The first scripture reading for today comes from Genesis 7, 6 through 16. That is from the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verses 6 through 16. In this scripture, we see that God saves all of humanity and all of creation by protecting them during the flood in the ark. God has called us to live our lives in harmony with those around us, even if they are very different from us. Let us read. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came on the earth. And Noah, with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the wind of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah with his sons Shem and Ham, and Japheth and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons, entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those who entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Here endeth the first scripture reading.
Last week we heard about the utter joy that we have as Christians when we give our lives over to Christ and try not to be the one who pulls the cord and guides the parachute in. And we mentioned if it feels good in Christ, then we ought to do it because we have complete confidence in the one who holds our future in his hands. Today, after giving us that message last week, Paul tempers that message just a bit, and it's almost as if he gives some qualifications, because he realizes that we're all different, and we all like different things. And our perspectives can also be different. In fact, what I like may not only be something that you don't like, but what I like may actually offend you, is what Paul gets to. And what you like, I may think is a waste of time and not what God ultimately has in mind for us, for you and me included. And so Paul today takes our understanding of Christian freedom and puts limits on it. And he uses certain terms like weak or immature or mature. And those are the words that we find in our scripture reading. And he says them a few times. Let's set the stage just so that we can understand what does it mean to live in a community, in a Christian community, and recognize that we're all different and recognize that what I hear the Lord calling me to do may be very different from what you hear the Lord calling you to do. So let's divide the congregation up into four sections. Choir up to birthday boy Tim Ott. Did I just say that? I'm sorry. My bad. So up to that point, you all can be, let's see, why don't you be goats? No, sheep. Let's have you be sheep. So let me hear, what do sheep say? Good. Wow. One of you was really good at that. The next half. Okay, so from Rube all the way back, y'all are cows. What do cows say? Yeah, that was really subdued. Then from here up to Don Welk, Senior, y'all can be dogs. What do dogs say? Karen, I knew you'd like that one. Okay, then from back there, y'all can be cats. What do cats say? Yeah. Okay, so let's everyone use your voice, use it proudly, and say it out loud. One, two, three, let's hear it. Oh, that's great. Any visitors here today? Any? Okay. So each one of you loves your voice and who you are, and you're proud of it, and think also that you think the best way to be is who you are. And the only way that others around you should be is also who you are. The others you think don't know what they're doing, and you obviously definitely think that they're wrong in however they manifest themselves. It's a mess. And so imagine what Noah must have felt like as he brought all those animals on. And then I love the ending of that scripture in Genesis says, and they were shut in. Okay? So imagine what that was like. Being a part of a community can sometimes, being a part of a church, can sometimes feel like we're living with animals. Because so often our understanding of who we are in Christ, maybe not so much in the church, but beyond, sometimes our faith and sometimes our understanding of who Jesus is used as a measuring stick, if not a club to be used against others. We try to force people to be who they're not, namely us. When they don't conform, we think they are, well, animals. Christ today calls us to live freely. If it feels good, do it, but don't look down on those who haven't discovered that yet, or don't judge those who actually enjoy their life in Christ. So let's look at Christian freedom and what Paul says about it in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It's crucial that you do at least read or understand what he said in chapter 13, especially what we looked at last week when we talked about Christian freedom and how what we do ought to be motivated by our life in Christ. Because whatever we want to do in our life ought to be that which Christ wants us to do. So if we're doing things that we know Christ doesn't want us to do, but we say, hey, it feels good, or I can do anything I want because I'm free in Christ, then you're missing Paul's point. Because you only should want to do that which, and you should only motivate you to do that which Christ wants you to do. Let's read Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Now, some believe in eating anything while the weak eat only vegetables. We'll get back to that one. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord, that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all the fully convinced in their own minds. And those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord, and also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God as well. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this scripture has resolved a decades-long debate within the current Bronkema household. The debate has been about tofu. How many of you enjoy tofu? Yeah, that's wrong. Okay. So in my family, in my current family, for years, tofu, let's call it a vegetable if we want, it's been put up to the heights of meat like pork chops and steaks and hamburgers and sausage. I was told you can fry it. You can bake it, you can eat it raw out of the refrigerator, you can put it in salad, you can put it in fruit. And my kids were raised since elementary school to take tofu as one of their primary sources of food. And they grew up much of their time in the South. And if you don't like tofu here, you should live in the South. It's outlawed in certain areas. And so finally, now we have in chapter 14 of Romans, verse 2, it comes along and it resolves the debate once and for all. We read in verse 2, the weak only eat vegetables, those who are strong eat meat. I knew there's a scripture for that somewhere. So I'm a meat and potatoes type guy, and so we have finally been vindicated. What's Paul talking about? Why does he say this? It's not a debate over how you eat or what you eat. It's not a culinary statement or a slam against vegetarians who may have been threatening his way of life. That's not why he's talking about vegetables and not why he's talking about meat in these scriptures. It has nothing to do with that at all. So let's figure it out. Remember, the meat that we eat, unless you go to a butcher, the meat that we eat, for the most part, comes from a supermarket, right? It's been packaged and it's been processed. In Paul's day, people got meat in the cities primarily from sacrifices that were taking place at altars. That's where you would get your meat. You would go into the city, you would go to a place where people were worshiping foreign gods and they were sacrificing meat to those gods. And so you could, at the end of that, claim some of that meat, pay for some of that meat as you would. Now, some people within the Christian church refused to eat that meat because it came from a context where people were worshiping something other than the one true God. It was a scandal for some folks. Even though Paul has said elsewhere, basically, don't sweat it. The meat itself isn't bad. In fact, it's pretty good. But some folks could not get past that whole idea of sacrifice to a foreign god and refuse to eat that meat. So that's where we find ourselves in the context of the scripture and within the context of a Christian community, within a Christian church. Interestingly enough, Paul calls these people who refuse or say that eating meat is a sin, he calls them weak. But not in the sense that we understand weak. He calls them weak, and the literal Greek is immature. It's someone who has yet to grow into an understanding, or helpless. There are some who take a certain comfort, and this is what Paul says, in hearing and knowing the rules and following them to the letter. So for them, it was black and white. If it's meat offered to idols, there's no gray area. It is wrong. You can't get around that. And he says those who are weak have a hard time stepping out of the plane because there's a possibility that what they're doing is crossing the line. Their faith is tied up strictly in following the rules. There's no dynamic relationship where Christ challenges you to step out of the boat in the midst of a storm. So for many people, life is black and white. There's a right way and there's a wrong way and there's nothing in between. Paul says, well, when you're living in a community, when you're living in a church community, remember, they were living together, they had all things in common. He said there's a lot of gray. When you're living with other animals, well, flexibility is the key, right? What's that statement that's attributed to Luther, but it probably came from St. Augustine, but we're not really sure, where he states, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, liberty. So for Paul, this eating of the meat was a non-essential. For others, it was an essential. For Paul, he did not see it as something that defined our relationship with Jesus. For the weak, there is no understanding that there are different ways to respond to God's grace. And Paul begins this chapter by saying, welcome those people into the church. But welcome them not just because then you can prove that you're right. Welcome them not because then you find someone that you know you can win in an argument. We've had close to 100 people join this church over the last 7 years. And a vast majority of you who have joined came from traditions where pretty much rules were all that mattered. There was a very set standard of rules, and most of those folks who have joined have stayed, but there are some who felt somewhat lost and maybe even abandoned without the rules to cling to and to define who they are. And in fact, some may have felt that being with us is a little bit like living with animals. Some of us more than others, but when you come from a background where the rules are spelled out for you and you are plopped into a context like this where life is about freedom, Christian life is about freedom, and trying to understand and grappling and wrestling with how God's desire for me might be different from God's desire for you, if you're not used to that, that can be a little disorienting. And so Paul has two messages for us today in this scripture, because he's really addressing two different groups of people. He calls one group weak. Again, don't understand that in the sense that we say it, but he does come down harder on that group. And he basically says to them, grow up, live in the freedom and joy that Christ wants you to live in. If you're not able to get over certain things, then accept that for your way of life, but don't make others conform to your way of life, because it may not be the best way for that other person. And the second word he has is for those who have no problem living within the culture, knowing where the line is drawn and not crossing over that line. He talks about humility. If you look especially at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he addresses this same topic. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he states, I have become weak for the sake of those who are weak. It's a basic call to humility and recognizing that even if you know that you're able to do it, even if you know that it's not illegal or wrong for you to do it, but it offends and it causes a scandal for someone else, he says, you don't have to do it just because you're able to. For the sake of the neighbor, for the sake of the person in the church, don't. And there's a sense of humility that he calls us to. So what would be a similar or a parallel issue within our community or within our nation or within our culture? If it's not meat, what would a similar topic be? I'm wondering if alcohol is one. In this community, we have a very serious problem, and within our nation, of our children drinking way too much. They go to college, and that tends to be a primary focus for many, maybe even before then. And part of the reason for that is because they've learned from their parents, or they've learned from other adults. And so there's a bit of a consensus that alcohol is evil. Now, when I'm out in public in mixed company, you will almost always see me drinking a Coke. I like Coke. Now, if I'm with that radical young couples group, I might have a drink or a glass of wine. Or if I'm with my neighbors, I might have a beer. So hearing your pastor say that from the pulpit, I recognize that for some, that can be somewhat scandalous. Because there is an unwritten rule within our society, for especially those who understand Christianity in a certain way, where it is a matter of rules, that your pastor should never, ever be involved in that. And it's wrong. And for those to whom it is a scandal, when I'm at your house, I will drink my Coke and my tofu and eat vegetables as well. I like vegetables. I don't like tofu. But I do side with Paul when he says, I become anything to anyone. And I don't mean to make light of that, because I do recognize the seriousness of alcohol and the problems. We have a full house when AA meets here. I recognize that. I understand that. But there are some who are scandalized by that as well. And we live in a type of society where we are moving, I feel, closer to defining things by black and white, by yes and no, and it's becoming less and less gray. But Paul lives in the gray. He says, stop being weak and immature, to recognize that if you have a problem, then you should not be involved in anything that's going to take you away from giving glory to God. But don't make your problem everyone else's problem, is what he says. On the other hand, don't flaunt your liberty and your freedom either. And that's what Paul's saying, because in Rome, he was faced with that every single day. At least the Romans would have been. And he knew that. They had to deal with daily sacrifices and decisions on how far do I go before I cross the line, or what am I allowed to do or not do. And he says, when you live in community, you have to be careful, but you also have to respect each other. You know, we have enough to worry about without planning the minute details of other people's lives, but Paul puts it in the perspective of this very last verse that we read. Look at verse 6, if you would, again. He states that what we do, whether we eat or not or drink or not, we ought to do it all in honor of the Lord. So if we do drink, is it in line with what God would want us to do or eat? Why do we refuse? Is it because we don't think God would approve it and it is sinful? Paul doesn't take sides. That's what I find interesting here. Both sides think in some sort that they're living with animals. But you know, if God can accept people and their faults, so can we. God says we are going to be perfect in God's eyes when we come before his throne. Think of the person sitting next to you, that when God sees them, he will see them as faultless and blameless and perfect before the throne. It's not anything goes. Don't be deceived. You can just look at Romans 1 and know that. But know that the people or the animals around you make up the occupants of the boat in which we all are shut in. And we're living this out together. If we appreciate the cows, then we let them moo. The cats, we let them meow. The dogs, we let them bark. The sheep, we let them baa. We will find ourselves, if we let them do that, growing in our faith every day. And after a while, this noisy din will become a wonderful symphony of a family of God trying to live their lives for Jesus Christ. May God bless us and keep us as we live with each other in a community, understanding that we have freedom while at the same time not using that freedom as a way in which to justify that which God would not want us to do. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we give you thanks, for you are a God of freedom. But you are also a God who recognizes that we are all in different places in our life and stages. And so you call us today to embrace our neighbor, to be able to live with our brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way that we would fully recognize their freedom while at the same time be humble enough to draw back on some of ours. And we pray this now in your holy name.